If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. I want to conclude this little series I've been doing, A New You in the New Year, that we've been talking about. And you know, life is made up of a series of decisions. You can only make two kinds. You can make wise decisions or foolish decisions. God is a source of wisdom, so that's why we have the Bible, so we can, you know, have access to a lot of great wisdom that we can apply to every area of our life. And I know that there's people over the years say, well, Pastor, the Bible doesn't talk about this, doesn't talk about this. Well, here's what I know is the Bible has enough stuff in there that you can get a good understanding of how God feels about everything in this life. And so we have that. So we want to live that way so that we minimize regrets, we maximize blessings. Last week, we talked about three key areas that have a real impact on our life: managing our time, using our money, handling temptation. 2,000 years ago, John, a disciple of Jesus, wrote a letter called 3 John to a man named Gaius. And he said this, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. The book of Proverbs is a letter that was written by the wisest man who ever lived to his son and to all of us as well. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in Proverbs, he said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. He repeated the same thing in Proverbs 4 when he said, my son, pay attention to what I say. I turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your body, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's own body. So he's basically saying spiritual wisdom contributes to physical health. If we're wise in the things of God, it's going to affect our whole being, so to speak. And so the fact that God created us with a body tells us that God thinks our body's important. Amen? So we're in a series, A New You in the New Year. My message today is honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. People tend to go two extremes with our bodies. We either think our body is not as important as God thinks it is, or we think it's more important than God thinks it is. Some people ignore their body. Other people adore their body. Amen? You with me? Some people focus on the spiritual side of life and neglect the physical side. But most people focus much more on the physical side and neglect the spiritual side. God is interested in both. How many of you know that? He's interested in our whole being. It was right after Christmas, and a man got on his bathroom scale, and he sucked in his stomach as far as he could. And his wife saw what he was doing, and she started laughing. She said, honey, sucking in your stomach won't help. He said, sure it does. It's the only way I can see the numbers. We know that taking care of our body is a multi-billion dollar business. You know, there's advertisements all the time about, you know, you need to drink this. You need to take this supplement. You need to do this. Here's the newest exercise that you can do. All of this thing. Dolly Parton said, if I see something sagging, dragging, or bagging, I get it sucked, tucked, or plucked. She says it takes a lot of money to look as cheap as I do. Now, that's her words. And so whether you ignore your body or adore your body is not a physical issue, but a spiritual issue. Okay? I'm going to show you that today in our scripture. Some may ask, well, isn't God just interested in our eternal soul and not our temporary body? After all, the Bible says it's going to be, he made us from dust, we're going to go to dust. Well, the Apostle Paul addresses these questions in our text today, because the Corinthian Christians were living it all wrong. They did not have a high view of their physical body. They had bought into the lie that you can separate the physical from the spiritual. They claimed the soul was good, but the body was evil. So if you surrendered your heart to Christ, it didn't matter what you did with your body. So gluttony was okay. Sexual promiscuity was okay. And whatever they needed to do to satisfy whatever appetite they had in their body, it was okay. They were misunderstanding their freedom in Christ as a freedom to sin rather than a freedom from sin. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 6, I want to read verses 12 through 20, then pray and then give you a few things. But before I get to these verses, here's a key thought. When you become a believer, there is the rebirth of your spirit, but there's also the repurposing of your body. When you become a believer, there is the rebirth of your spirit, we know that, but there's also the repurposing of your body. So here we go. I have the right to do anything, you say, But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. This is Paul speaking. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said, two will become one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sin a person commits are outside his body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Here's our key two verses. Who is in you? Whom you have received from the Lord? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Let's pray. Father, this is your holy word. And I pray, God, that you'll speak it into our lives today. This is not a message that I've hardly ever heard preached about our bodies being the temple, but yet it's in your word. And I pray that today that you'll speak to our lives as we need to be spoken to. And Lord, in such a way that we want to make the changes that we might need to make, or we'll tell others that we have relationship with that they might need to hear this word. So we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So these last two verses really say it all. The value of something is determined by but what someone is willing to pay. And Paul says our value, you know, to God is beyond understanding because he bought us with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So Paul says the only appropriate response to all of this is to glorify God. And some of your Bibles say honor God. It's the word doxazo, where we get our word doxology, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. It means to honor, glorify, exalt, uplift, praise the Lord. In other words, our body should be a walking, living, breathing doxology of praise, honor, and glory to God in everything that we do.
Amen.
Everything that we do.
That's right, amen.
In the heart of Kentucky is a facility dedicated to housing hundreds of bars of pure gold, Fort Knox. Never seen it in person. Over the years, in addition to gold, the vault at Fort Knox has protected the gold reserves of other countries, the English crown jewels. And by the way, there's a funny story about the crown jewels. Mary Dozier called me years ago. Sister Mary called me. And she said, I've just been watching TV, and I heard that a family by the name of Blood stole the crown jewels years ago. I said, well, Mary, I can't tell you where they are right now. But this was years ago, and I think they caught them, and they found them. They've been here. The Magna Carta, the Gutenberg Bible, back in the early 1940s, it held the original U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. The vault itself was built to be impenetrable. It's constructed of granite, steel, concrete. The vault door alone weighs more than 20 tons. The vault is made of steel plates, steel beams, steel cylinders. To open the door, several staffers at the depository must individually dial in their separate combinations known only to them. Even the President of the United States doesn't have the combination to the vault. Now, we know that Fort Knox as a place that holds all these items of great value, and that's the imagery that God wants us to have from 1 Corinthians 6, that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you. You're God's Spirit and God's you are God's temple and his Spirit dwells in you. So wherever we are, church, work, school, the gym, shopping, whatever, you know, it's a holy place where we are. Now, in these nine verses, Paul gives five reasons why we should honor God with our bodies. So, number one, we should honor God with our bodies because our bodies are for the Lord. One misuse of the body the Corinthians were really struggling with was sex. When it came to sex in the ancient world, there were two major mindsets, and I kind of made these words up a little bit. There were party poopers and pagans. Okay, the party poopers taught that it was always vile and dirty, and you should avoid sex at all costs. The pagans said it's normal, it's natural, go for it anytime you want to. Well, that's two bad extremes. Paul deals with this, both views of this, because there's always been pagans and party poopers. In these verses, he sets the pagans straight. In the next chapter, we won't talk about, he sets the party pooper straight. And the truth is, young people especially, God isn't keeping sex from us. He's keeping sex for us.
That's right.
Amen? Sex was God's idea. It's not to be vilified. It's not to be deified, okay? In 1 Corinthians 6:13, it says, you say food for the stomach and stomach for the food. and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but meant for the Lord and the Lord of the body. So the Corinthian Christians, you hear what I said? Corinthian Christians, they were kind of out of their pagan culture. They had, you know, a process to kind of get their life right. It wasn't working very fast. And so Paul deals with this. And so the Corinthians were thinking, you know, when your body needs food, you eat. When your body needs sex, you have sex. So whether it's the urge to eat or the urge to merge, just go for it. It's the same. It's not the same. You hear people say similar things. Say, it's just biological, you know, it's no big deal. If you have a problem with my sexual activity, blame God because he made me like I am. Well, that's not how God wants us to deal with it. Paul says, God did not make your body for the purpose of sexual immorality. And the word there is, those two words are one word, it's porneia, P-O-R-N-E-A. You can imagine what all else that entails. It basically refers to any sex outside of marriage. And it's saying your body, God did not give it to you for that purpose. He made your body for the Lord, so it's to be used for him. Every part belongs to him. That's why Paul reiterates in verse 19, you are not your own. You weren't made for you. You were made for Jesus. Amen? We were made for the Lord. In Romans 12, 1, he gives clarity to this. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offer what to God? Your body. God didn't say our spirit. Because you really can't do anything on this planet without your body, right? Where's our spirit? It's in our body, so it goes where we go. Sometimes people say, well, I won't be at church next week, Pastor, but I'll be with you in spirit. And you know what that means? Absolutely nothing, okay? Now, I know what they're saying, that, you know, they'll be thinking about us, and I understand that, but it's not possible. Your spirit can only be where your body is. That's the point I'm making. Not that that's a bad thing to say. I get it, you know. You know, try calling your boss tomorrow morning and say, you know, I won't be coming into work today, but I'll be with you in spirit, you know. He'll probably tell you that he's going to be with you in spirit when you go look for your next job, you know. So Paul says we're to offer our bodies as what? Living sacrifices. When we think about a sacrifice in the Old Testament version, you know, it's basically a dead animal on an altar that's being burnt to the Lord. And that word sacrifice, you know, means you give up ownership. You know, you're given that lamb, you're given those two turtle doves, whatever the sacrifice that God required that people brought, that those priests would just sacrifice constantly, all the time. You were given up possession. You were given it. It was going to be gone. It was going to be used. In the Old Testament, there was no such thing as a partial sacrifice. It was all or nothing. And just I'll throw in a little bit thing here about the sanctity of life, that some Christians argue that and some Christians argue this, that women have the right to abort an unborn baby because it's her body. Well, I'll just say, if you're a Christian, then your body is not your body, man or woman. It's the body of Christ. Okay? Not going to make a big deal about this because you know how some Sundays throughout the years I teach specifically on the sanctity of life, the Bible says. But men and women, we're supposed to use our body for the glory of God. And I know that people in their pre-Christian days maybe have had something done like this. Listen, that's not the unforgivable sin. Amen. God loves us and cares about us. Worship is giving God all that we are to all that God is. The second reason that we should honor God with our bodies is because our bodies, let me catch up here, our bodies will be resurrected. Verse 14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. He raised his body, and he would raise us also. God didn't just wreck the spirit of Jesus, but his body. And if the body of Jesus were ever found, then Christianity as we know it wouldn't exist. Amen? The empty tomb is a big deal. The Bible says after his resurrection, Jesus ate food with his body. He said to the disciples, touch my hands, my feet, my side. He had a real physical body. When our body dies, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But at the return of Christ, your mortal body, my mortal body, will be resurrection, transformed, united with the spirit. Now, some of you think, how can that happen? If somebody's been in the grave, you know, for 2,000 years, what's left? What about all those Christians that were burned at the stake? What about all those people that have been bombed in battles or sunk in the bottom of the ocean? All kinds of ways that people have died. Well, if God can take original dust to make a body, he can take whatever's left of us and give us that new glorified body. Amen? Amen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. In Romans 8:11, it says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your," what? "Mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." So when you draw your last breath, you're not saying goodbye to your body. You're saying, "I'll see you later." Now, I know some of you are thinking, "Well, I don't want this old body back. It's given me so much trouble." Well, you're going to get the new updated version. Your spirit will be united with your new state-of-the-art glorified body like Jesus has. In fact, Philippians talks about this, and it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." So our updated body version will be perfect. It will be eternal. And so what Paul is clarifying here is our body will never lose its importance. Jesus died for your soul, your spirit, your body. It might decay for a season in the grave, but it's going to be raised. Hallelujah. Your body has a purpose now and in eternity. Your body for the Lord matters. There's a third reason we should honor God with our bodies is because our bodies are members of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Here's the verses that we read, but let's highlight them again. "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" There it is. I didn't have to work hard to get that little title. "Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." Now the word "members," it just, you know, it refers to hands and legs and limbs and all that kind of stuff. And collectively of Christians, we are the full body of Christ. Us here in this church, we're members of this body, but we're also members of the worldwide body of the kingdom of God. And so he's saying that because we belong to Christ and Christ now lives in us, our hands are his hands. Amen. Our arms are his arms. Our legs are his legs. Jesus Christ, man himself, visibly, you know, his invisibility becomes visible to the world through us. That's how they know. So when we become physically one in the context of marriage, it honors him. When it's outside of marriage, it dishonors him. Some argue, well, in this passage, just talk about prostitution. Well, no, it's the same word again, porneia. So it refers to all sex outside of the marriage covenant, whatever it is. You know, premarital, you know, adultery, all the different things is thrown in here. You know, and you can put all the current day things that people deal with that have to do with this sexual intimacy. And you don't want to do anything with your body that would bring Jesus inside of you into contact with that which is unholy. So we don't want to join our body with anything that's unholy. So what should we do when we're tempted to stray sexually? It says in verse 18, flee sexual immorality, not flirt with it, not fall to it, flee from it. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his whole body. Now, he's not saying sexual sin is the worst of all sins. Amen? He's just saying it's the most unique. Sex isn't just physical. It's mental. It's emotional. It's relational. It's spiritual. There's no such thing as casual sex in God's book. Inconsequential sex or recreational sex. God created the gift of sexual intimacy to be involved, you know, with husband and wife. Amen? Come on. We all get the word, right? There's just only such a thing as one man and one woman that unite together. And I know there's other things that come into play with divorce, and we're not going there today. But you understand what this means. And he says, listen, when those things come around you, you will be tempted. We talked a little bit about that. Flee. Flee. Don't give in to it. Here's the fourth reason. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. This is the big thing. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? We recognize that word temple as a place of worship. You know, we don't call this place a temple. It's a place where we meet. But it's recognized in the Old Testament as that place where God was accessible to man. That's where his presence was. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for people. But beginning in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. Can we say that again? In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. When Jesus died, You know, that curtain that kept the from the Holy of Holies, it was ripped in two. How was it ripped in two? From the top
to the bottom.
In other words, man did do it, God did it. God says, okay, I no longer have a temple for the people. I have a people for the temple, and that's you. We have access to the Father. Our spirits dwell within our bodies. And now the Holy Spirit dwells within our spirits. Within the temple of our physical body is where we meet God, worship God, commune with God. Now, it's interesting here, follow me, that there are two words in the Bible that are translated temple. One version of it just describes the entire temple, you know, the whole structure that, you know, that Solomon built. The other word describes the innermost part, the Holy of Holies. That's the word that's used here. You with me? That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the holiest place in the temple is what now resides inside of us by God's Spirit. That's amazing. Our body, where we meet and commune with God, is now the most sacred part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. It used to be that people went to the temple to worship God. Now God comes to us, and within us, He promises to never leave us or forsake us. And so, you know, our body is a place of worship because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. So why come to a building every Sunday to worship? You know, why do we? Well, because He calls us to both individual worship and corporate worship. Amen? Yes. Three of the saddest days in the history of Israel were those times when the temple was desecrated and destroyed. First time was in the 6th century by Nebuchadnezzar. 300 years later by Antiochus Epiphanes. And then it was destroyed again in 70 AD as Jesus prophesied it would by the Roman general Titus when they totally destroyed it. That's the history. How much more sorrowful are the temples of flesh, us, where God has come to dwell by His Spirit because of Jesus' redemptive work, bodies that are desecrated and destroyed carelessly and thoughtlessly by indulging in the desires of the flesh and forgetting. Now, I'm not saying, you know, Christians don't go there as much, but you've seen people that are just so, they're so worn down. They're just, you know, whether it was drugs or whatever, you know, things they get involved in, they are just torn down. And it's sad, isn't it? It's sad. And it shouldn't be that way. And God doesn't want us to be that way. Paul says, how can you do that when the Holy Spirit is in you? Each of you should learn to control your own body. This is in 1 Thessalonians in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. Now, again, I mentioned Christians tend to go to two extremes, and people go to two extremes. They most ignore their body, while a few adore their body. I go to the Y pretty regularly, and so, you know, they've got mirrors all around the Y. I don't go near the mirrors if I can help it, okay? Because I don't need to stare at what I'm working on to try to get where it needs to be. Like, we're all working on it, right? We're all a work in progress. But I do the things that I can do to stay as healthy as I can. It's just, you know, I know earlier in years that Nancy, you know, she would buy me weights and do different things. And so we have it around the house. But it's just for me, if I can get out and go there, then that's just a good habit. And there's other things that I can do there and just to try to stay healthy. And some of you do the same. Some of you are doing it in a rehab fashion. Some of you are just doing it regular. Some of you walk in your nail. Listen, something, you know, that we need to do that. Other people believe their body is more important than God does. And they do all those things. They want to live forever. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to live forever. How many times do you hear of some prime athlete in their 20s just drop dead suddenly? I mean, they're in the prime condition, but something happens, their heart fails, whatever. So then I see people, and I can't forget, I see people that are in their 90s, they still eat dessert first, you know? They drink and smoke and do every kind of thing that you should not do to your body, and they're still kicking on up in their 90s. Now, I just know that we need to do what's reasonable, right? Well, here's the last thing. We should honor God with our bodies because our bodies are bought by Jesus.
That's right.
Verse 20 says, for you are bought at a price. You're bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are God's. We don't hear, you know, sermons like this much, but we were bought at a price. You ever been given something that you know that somebody paid a big price for that, whether it was a price in their time, they made it personally, or the money that they spent? You know, you take care of that, don't you?
Yeah.
You just take care of it. And sometimes it's not an expensive thing. It's just something that somebody made with love and care.
Yeah.
I've got a little metal box. It ain't nothing, really. Look at me talking. It ain't nothing. It's just a little thing. It's just a raggedy little metal box. But inside that are just a couple things that my mother gave me after my dad died, because I'm a junior. So I got a belt buckle. You've never seen it, me, because I don't wear it. And I didn't win any rodeo anywhere, but it says Gary on it, like my dad would wear. And, you know, he's a truck driver, so all those guys, you know, wore belt buckles and things like that. And a couple other little things from him. It's not worth anything to anybody. Not worth anything of any value financially, but it means a lot to me. Every now and then I can just look in there and just be reminded of Dad, you know. Yesterday after the service, the Kinsey family gave me one of Ken's tool bags. They went out in his shed, and they just got some of his tools and put it in a bag and gave it to me. And they said, if you need more tools, he's got a whole shed out there full of any kind of tool, you know, come and get some more. But I'm not going to do that. But, you know, that was a value to Ken. It was a value to them. They wanted, you know, just a little gift. You understand what I'm saying about, but, and the big point is, well, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we were once slaves to sin, but we were bought by a new owner. Our owner is gracious. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's patient. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He didn't purchase us with something as cheap as silver or gold, but by the blood of his only begotten son. So God holds a title deed to our body. The bill of sale was signed at the cross by Jesus Christ in his blood. And so he owns part of me. Every ounce, every pound, every sinew, fiber, muscle, all of that. At one of our men's ministry meetings years ago, when Brother Jimmy was heading it up, and Jimmy would have us, you know, go around and talk about each other, one man said to this guy sitting in the meeting, he said, your wife is worth her weight in gold for all she does at church. And this guy was, he's still around. He's not here today, but, you know, he's kind of a prankster type, like Brother Ron Dyson. Good to see him around us now. So he's keeping us straight now. It wasn't Ron that said, but he said, I'm going to go home and weigh her and see how much I got. So anyway, don't any of you guys do that. But don't, you know, you don't have to do that. But if I'm living in a body created by God, paid for by God, and filled with God's presence, then the implication that I have is for my personal life, my social life, my spiritual life, my sexual life. Amen? In other words, I can't say, well, they're my lungs, I'll poison them if I want to. You know, I can't say it's my stomach, I'll eat what I want to. I can't say, we can say this. I can't say they're my eyes, I'll look what I want to, I'll say what I want to, I'll listen to what I want to, I'll go where I want to. No. Friends, as Christians, we cannot say and do those things because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is just kind of a little bit, kind of stirring us in the right direction. All of me should be all for Jesus. And this is going to lead in perfectly to next week when we have our vision Sunday, all in. Our key verse will be Luke 9:23. We'll talk about that. So whether today your body is old or young, healthy, disease, black or white, weak or strong, God today is saying, I paid for you with the blood of my son. I've forgiven your sins. I brought you into my family. You are mine. I love you. I want you to use your life for my glory. So how are we doing with that, all of us? You know, I know as we get older, if you've kept yourself in good shape, they're just things that happen when you get older. Are you recognizing that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and there's things that the Lord wants? Are you ignoring it with lack of discipline? Or are you focused on making the temple look good, but not the God who dwells inside of it to be strong in you? Amen? So here's the application that I want to leave you with. Two things. Since your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should do what is holy with your body. Do what is holy. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? You are not your own. So when we look at our body, we see flesh and bones and hair and teeth and eyes and, you know, feet and whatever, all of that. And there is a reason why our body is called a temple. Because in the Bible, the temple is a place of worship, which our body is. Since the Holy Spirit lives in our temple 24 hours a day, we have a possibility that we can just worship and honor God no matter what we're doing. And many people do that. So keep in mind that just like the temple, the body is a place of worship, not an object of worship.
Amen.
We worship in this building, but we don't worship this building. Amen? Years ago, when I was doing, as a youth pastor in Goldsboro at the church, we just ran out of room. Our youth was really, it was growing, everything was wonderful. And so our pastor got in contact with, I think it was a Lutheran church across the street, which we had to cross Highway 70, which was a busy highway, or just drive over there. And they were going to let us use their building on Wednesday nights when our, because they didn't have Wednesday night. I mean, they're going to let us use it. I don't know if the pastor paid for that or not. I don't know. But he said we can use that in their sanctuary, in which we took up, you know, the sanctuary. And so we'd have youth meetings. And, you know, at that church they had like a podium that was, you know, weighed 500 pounds. And they had all these different things here and there laid out. And so to do what we did with youth, we moved them a little bit. Okay? You don't move that stuff. Some churches, you don't move their stuff. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. You don't move their stuff. So we didn't last long there because we moved their stuff. What I'm saying is this is a great, you know, great building that we have that was built by, you know, men in our church and painted and fixed. You know, we talked about Ken Lott. He fixed and did a lot of things, you know, but we don't worship this building. You know, we are these, you know, these chairs, you know, they're great, but we move them. We put tables in here. We eat in here. We do a lot of things here. We have baptisms up here. You know, it's a great building. It's great for that we can come together. But just like our body, you know, we're not to worship our body. It's just God's building. You know, we respect it. We keep it clean. We honor it. So the same with this building that we do with our body. The second thing is this. Do what is healthy with your body. Do what is holy with your body. Do what is healthy with your body. So let me just talk about this quickly. Your diet, okay? I'm not gonna tell you how to eat or what to eat. But how would your physical habits change if you began to see your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit? A man went to see his doctor, and after a very thorough exam, he said to him, "Listen, I'm recommending a bypass." His eyes got big, and the doctor said, "Yeah, you need to bypass the pizza, the nachos, the cookies, and the hamburgers. Or you're going to need a real bypass." You all know what I'm talking about. Over 750,000 people a year have a heart bypass in America. Do you know what's amazing is when they get that, the doctor said, "Okay, you got to change your ways. You know, you got to change your diet. You can't eat all those things you've been eating. If you're smoking, you need to stop smoking. You need to start exercising." In fact, the doctors say, "You need to get all these changed or you will die sooner than you want to die." And you would think that that kind of experience would grab people's attention. But here's the reality. On average, 90% of people who have had bypass don't change. They might change for a little while, but we, you know, all of us, you know, it's the new year. We've been fasting for a couple weeks and we do that. My little granddaughter, Emma. I have a granddaughter, Ella, as well. But Emma, you know, she'll meet me out in the foyer someplace this morning, Melody and Xavier's little girl, and she'll reach for my hand. She's two, right? She's two. She's not three yet, but she acts like it. But she'll take my little hand, and she'll say, "Poppy Bear, let's go to your office." And I always ask her, I say, "Why do you want to go to my office?" "For some chocolate." Chocolate. Well, this week I've not had any of that in there, you know, and so... So she's a little disappointed. Her parents aren't because they don't want her to have all that, you know. But I'm likely to have some next week. You know what I'm saying is we do. It's hard for us to change. Probably not as much. Maybe I'll go. I remember being a kid. This is a little diversion here. I remember being a kid, a teenager, and just being really hungry. And, you know, teenagers just eat everything in sight. Me and my brothers played sports. I remember one time being so hungry, couldn't find anything in the pantry except Baker's chocolate. You know what I'm talking about? Baker's chocolate. And I said, "Well, I'm going to take this. I'm going to make myself a homemade Reese's," and I slapped some peanut butter on that. And that'll lock your jaw up because that Baker's chocolate is not meant to be eaten unless you bake it into something else. But and our diet, friends. Listen, our diet. You know, we there's lots of good food out there that we can eat to fuel our bodies. And there's so many things sometimes we eat or drink, whatever, that's really not healthy. You know, I feel so good after 2 weeks of just drinking water. You know, I like a good every Diet Coke every now and again. But when you drink water, your joints feel better. Your body feels better. I mean, just a lot of things happen. Okay, I don't want to go too. Exercise. 1 Timothy Okay, Paul talks about this. He said, for while bodily training is of some value, you get bodily training, exercise, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. This verse is not saying that exercise is unimportant. He's saying what the priority is, godliness comes first. Godliness comes first. A part of being holy is being healthy, okay? Control your health. The next one is rest. Another area we need to pay attention to is rest.
Amen.
Rest is important to God. It's important to our body. That's why God made us get sleepy. Sometimes God makes people real sleepy when they come to church. Yeah, you sit down in a nice comfortable seat and heat or air conditioned. You know, we can, and that's why the Lord says set aside one day a week. He says, you know, we need to rest monthly. That's why he gives us the weekends. We need to rest yearly. That's why we need to take vacations. There, you know, Jesus sometimes did say he just took them away to rest. Church. Of course, the pastor would say this. But here's reality. Regular churchgoers, on average, have blood pressure 5% lower than those who don't go to church. Unless you go to a church that just raises it, you know. Some churches can do that. But if you go to a church where the word is preached, where you get a good dose of faith, hope, and love, and you get uplifted, it just takes a lot of pressure off. In fact, people who attend church regularly live an average of 7 years longer than other people. Now, this, of course, you know, I don't know how they get these statistics, but that's what I read. Here's the last one, gratitude. Medical researchers are discovering that gratitude is one of the emotional traits most likely to benefit physical health and quicken recovery from an illness. You know, I think we saw that yesterday. You know, Ken wasn't just a happy person, he was a peachy person. He said it all the time. Everybody, all of us know that. Grateful people tend to be happier, more satisfied with their lives. And friends, we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that we have bad days. I know that we have pressures upon us. But hey, guess what? Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead so that he could send his Holy Spirit in our body to make us holy and healthy and righteous. And the last little takeaway that I want you to have for today, living healthy is part of living holy. Living healthy is part of living holy. I'm not saying that all of us should look like Olympic athletes walking around and they know that we're Christians by our bodies. The Bible doesn't say that. They know that we're Christians by our love. Okay? And the size of our body doesn't really translate to the health of our body as well either. I know some people that are real skinny, and they're also real sickly sometimes. It just happens. But friends, let's do our part. Amen? Let's do what we can. Because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I know this is not an easy message to listen to, but it's the truth, God. Our body is the temple of your Holy Spirit. And so, God, your Holy Spirit goes wherever we go. We can't go anywhere and think that we're doing something we shouldn't do and nobody watches. God, your Holy Spirit is in us if we're a Christian. God, you desire holiness in the inward parts. And your Holy Spirit helps to accomplish that as we read the word, as we pray, as we give attention to all the things, Lord, that you ask us to do. Lord, I pray that you help each of us this morning where we struggle. Whatever it is, God, we all struggle. None of us can point the finger. None of us here are perfect. And so, God, we need your help in this by your Holy Spirit to be reminded every day that whatever we do for the glory of God. Holy of holies, and the Spirit of God resides inside of us. Thank you, Jesus.